St. Rita of Cascia, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There was an unmistakable air of summer in the air this morning, and really throughout the whole day. And this, of course, would pretty much go along with most people's idea of Memorial Day as the opening up of the summer season. But the church, for her part, continues to pray and to pray and to pray. And for your consolation, I mention first of all to you tonight a saint whom we honored, I believe, on Monday, a friend of St. Philip Neri. His name is St. Felix of Cantalice. He used to be called in 16th century Rome, as he begged from door to door, this Franciscan friar. He used to be called Brother Deo Gratiam, or Brother Thanks Be to God, because by means of that phrase, he was able to reconcile enemies and to work miracles and to bring great peace of heart and growth and holiness, to thank God for everything. But he used to pray. He loved May devotions and Our Blessed Mother very much, and he would be often lost in prayer before Mary's altar. He used to love to serve Mass, but unlike our crack team of servers, he often forgot his responses, because during Mass he would fall into an ecstasy. So the priest never wanted to have him be their altar boy because of that. But during the night, he would pray all night long in church. But when the friars came in at midnight to chant their office, then he would slip away and he would take a little rest, because he would say, well, now Jesus is not by himself. And so we should have this thought that how wonderful that although many good Catholics made it to their Mass yesterday and will make it again on Sunday, nevertheless, if we weren't here, well, Jesus would be by himself. So many prayers to say. That is to say, our May devotions, our Friday perpetual novena to the Sacred Heart, and then tonight we open our solemn novena to the Holy Ghost in preparation for Pentecost, the chanting of the ancient hymn of the church, the Veni Creator Spiritus. And last of all, we don't want to forget St. Rita of Cascia, whose statue is the first statue on the epistle side of the church, and it was such a great miracle worker. St. Rita must have been a saint who never gave up on praying, and her prayers were heard, sometimes in the way of bringing a cross and suffering, but always in the way of bringing great grace from Almighty God. The story of St. Rita, she lived in 15th century Italy, and was married very young by her parents to a rather dissolute young man who would be what we would call today an alcoholic or an abusive husband. And she suffered 18 years with him. And her greatest sorrow was seeing her two sons grow up more or less in the image of their father, because that's, of course, how it works in life. And she prayed very much for them. She was able to obtain her husband's conversion and return to the sacraments. And she enjoyed some short but sweet time with him, and then he died. He was killed in some kind of a fight on the street, and his mutilated body was brought back home. And according to the custom of the day, her sons vowed revenge or vendetta against the murderer. So she prayed that that would not happen, and the boys actually fell ill. It seemed that it was only by means of their illness and death that they could have been prevented from committing that sin. But before they died, she was able to nurse them and to bring them to a good state of mind, the reception of the sacraments, to die in the state of sanctifying grace. She wanted very much her whole life long to be a nun, and she applied to the local convent now as a widow. She was refused. For over 6 years, she made 3 separate attempts to enter the convent, and each time they told her no. Finally, in answer to her prayers, she entered the convent one night miraculously. With the gates and the doors barred and shut from within, she suddenly appeared in the convent before the night office, having come by means of God's grace. The Mother Superior had the good grace to accept that this was God's will for her to be with them. She heard a wonderful sermon one Good Friday on the crowning with thorns of our Lord. And she fell into an ecstasy, and she asked our Lord if she could maybe share some of what he must have suffered by that crown of thorns on his head. And one of the thorns was seen to detach itself from the crucifix and to go into her forehead. And it stayed there as a wound for the rest of her life. It healed and went away on certain occasions as needed. But most of the time it was there recuperating and very unsightly, and it emitted a foul odor, so much so that for most of the next 18 years, she had to be separated from the rest of the sisters in the convent because no one could stand to be with her. And all of the time she was praying, all of the time she was offering this up for all sorts of good needs and purposes. Just before her death in early spring, she worked a number of miracles, and that's why roses are traditionally given to St. Rita, because she sent a relative to her old house to bring some roses to her just before she died, even though no roses in that locality had yet blossomed. And she went to the garden, and sure enough, there were beautiful roses which she cut and brought back to the dying saint. So we have roses before St. Rita of Cascia. She's especially invoked for family problems and for conversions and graces of return to the sacraments and the grace of forgiveness of our enemies. She's a wonderful and a very powerful miracle worker. But give her your short list of your needs for your own soul and your own family, and ask her year-round, especially on Fridays, for that tender devotion to the Passion of Christ and to His Sacred Heart that might bring you to church, because you have that thought, I bet no one else would be with dear Jesus if I weren't praying right now. Deo gratias. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.